What would you say is the most stressful experience a human being can go through? Psychologists and other social scientists who study human behavior have determined that the most stressful experience a person can have is the death of a spouse. A close second, they say, is divorce. And from my experience as a pastor, I would say and add right up close to the death of a spouse and divorce would be the death of one of your children. All of these experiences, events, involve loss. And anytime you experience a loss, obviously that will be stressful. I don't know if you've ever had the opportunity to do this questionnaire, but there is a questionnaire that lists all of the experiences, events in life that would produce stress. And what you are asked to do is put a check in front of one of those that you have experienced within the past year, any of those that you've had in the last year. And next to each one is a number. And after you've gone through the entire list, checking the ones that you've experienced within the past year, you're asked to total all the ones that you've checked. Take the numbers, add them up, and if your total is above a certain number, what research has shown is that you're at a very high risk for a major illness or a serious accident. What they've determined is when your stress level hits a certain point, either your body will break down and you will get sick, or you'll get into an accident. Your brain won't work properly, you'll make a mistake, and you'll get into a serious accident. What's interesting is on that list are not only things that we would recognize as being bad, like losing a spouse or a death of a loved one, but it also includes events and experiences that we would normally think of as being good or happy, like getting married or the birth of a child. These also create stress. If you were to look at the entire list and all of the experiences, the one common thread in all of these experiences is change. Anytime you experience a change in your life, it will produce stress. Changing your pastor at your church. Even something good, like getting promoted at work, that's a change. It will produce stress. What that means is we as human beings, our nature is to do everything that we can to avoid change. We like things to stay the way they are. The reality is you cannot avoid change. Change is part of life. The only question then is, how will you deal with change? And how will you deal with the stress that results from change or loss? Do we as Christians have an advantage over other people in dealing with stress? Do we as Seventh-day Adventist Christians have an even better advantage over other people? Well, this morning, I would like you to take your Bible and open it to the Gospel of John. The disciples of Jesus were about to experience a major change, a huge loss. Their Lord, the one that they had left everything to follow, Jesus was about to leave them. He was about to be crucified, be resurrected, ascend to heaven. That was a huge change that they were about to experience. What did Jesus do to help his disciples prepare for that change, for that loss? Well, here in John's Gospel, I find it interesting. Do you know how many chapters are in John? 21 chapters. John, unlike the other gospel writers, does not tell us about the birth of Jesus. He simply begins by talking about the ministry of Jesus. And already in chapter 13, we come to the last night before Jesus is about to be crucified. John moves very quickly through Jesus' ministry And he focuses on that last segment of time, just before his crucifixion. Chapter 13, he talks about the Passover that Jesus and his disciples observed, during which Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Chapters 14 through 16 are Jesus' last words to his disciples. Chapter 17, which we looked at last Sabbath, is the prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples, and that he continues to pray for us. I'd like to focus on this section, chapters 14 through 16, what Jesus said to his disciples, his parting words to them before he was about to leave them. And focus, can't look at the whole thing today, but I'd like to focus on just a few verses, verses 25 through 27. What does Jesus do to help his disciples deal with the change that they were about to experience, the stress that they were about to go through when they saw their Lord be crucified? Verse 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." The Greek word that we have translated into peace was originally used by the Greek people to refer to a period of time when there was no war. In ancient Greece, war was actually a way of life. The city-states were almost constantly at war among themselves. Occasionally, there would be brief periods of time when there would be no war anywhere. That was what they called peace. It was not so much about relationships among people, between parties, but simply an absence of conflict. It was a condition or a state. The writers of the New Testament took this word and used this word to refer to a state of mind. Peace of mind. And we can sort of relate to that. But what the New Testament writers did was they used that concept as a result of salvation. Because we have salvation, because we have been reconciled with God, the result of that is peace. We have peace of mind. We have a condition of peace because of our salvation. Jesus said, "This peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you." This peace that Jesus has given to us is unlike anything that this world has to offer. Think about the kind of peace that we can have from this world. Maybe peace of mind if you have more money in your bank account than you need. Or peace because we are citizens of a country that happens to have the most expensive, the best equipped military force in the entire world. Is this kind of peace guaranteed? Having the best military force in the world did not prevent 9/11 from happening. And what many people have come to experience is your money in your accounts can disappear overnight. What Jesus is offering to us, the world cannot provide. It is unlike anything we can find in this world. Jesus goes on in verse 27, "Let not your hearts be troubled." Does that sound familiar? This is actually the second time Jesus says this phrase. The first time, verse 1, chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your hearts be troubled." And next Sabbath, we will focus on that passage. First time Jesus spoke these words. That word for troubled in the Greek literally means to stir up or to shake. And I think we can relate to that. If someone barely missed getting into a head-on collision on a highway, and the person says, "I was so shook up I had to pull over and get myself together," you'd understand what they were talking about, right? Or some people, when they're afraid, will literally start shaking. To be shaken up, to be troubled. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. The peace that Jesus is offering to us makes it possible for us to remain calm, to stay calm in spite of what might be going on around us, in spite of the trials, the problems, the things that could cause us to feel shaken up or to feel afraid or scared. Jesus says, this is my peace that I'm giving to you. No matter what loss you may experience, no matter what kind of changes you might be going through in your life, it is possible to remain peaceful, to be at peace, and to not be shaken up. Now, how is this possible? Go back to verse 26. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Jesus sends us his Holy Spirit. Even though Jesus is physically away in heaven, through the Spirit that he has sent to be with us, he is still with us. If you go back to verse 18, Jesus said, I will not leave you desolate. I will not abandon you. I will still be with you, and you can have my peace as long as you believe and trust that I'm with you. Throughout chapters 14 through 16, there are several places where Jesus talks about the Holy Spirit and the ministry of the Holy Spirit and what the Spirit will do for us. But I believe above everything else, because Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one, with the Spirit being present with us, Jesus is with us. We are not alone. We are not desolate. We are not abandoned. Jesus is with us. And because he's with us, we can be at peace, no matter what happens to us. No matter what you might lose, no matter what changes you might experience, whatever stress you might be going through, we are able to deal with it because Jesus is with us through his Spirit. He has promised us and has given us peace that is unlike anything this world can provide. Now, how does that help us? Well, as Christians, when you made that decision to commit your life to God, when you decided to let Jesus be Lord and Savior of your life, the one thing Jesus did not promise you is an easy life. Never said he would shelter you from problems, trials, difficulties. We experience problems just like everybody else. We go through stress just like anyone else. The promise is he will be with us and he will give us peace through all of those events or experiences. I have been with people, church members, when they've been told, you have cancer, it is terminal, you will die. You need to get your affairs in order. And I have seen people be completely devastated by that news, and I have seen others just take it in stride like it's no big deal. And it's a marvel to me to see how people, some people, are able to move towards death and still remain perfectly calm and at peace. The only explanation is what we find here in John 14. Jesus has given these people a peace that the rest of the world cannot offer and so often cannot even understand. And how is that possible? Well, I'd like you to take a step back with me and look at the big picture. Is God real? Is there really a God? And if there is a God, is he the God that the Bible has told us about? The God who is omnipotent, all-powerful, who is able to do anything? Amen. And is this omnipotent God also the loving God that the Bible tells us that he is? If you believe that this God is omnipotent, that he does love you with an everlasting love, then why do we need to worry? What the Bible tells us is everything you experience in this life, including the worst. What is the worst thing that could happen to you or someone that you love? Death. Even death, the Bible says, is temporary. Everything is temporary. The only thing that is eternal is our salvation. That's the thing that God says we can count on. And if we believe in that salvation, if we have that assurance because we've accepted Jesus into our hearts, the result of that, like the Bible says, is peace. Peace that nothing can ever take away from you. No matter what trials, no matter what problems, no matter what losses, there can still be that peace. Now, in all of my years as a pastor, I would say quite regularly, I have had church members come up to me and express, honestly, you know, we are all looking forward to the second coming, aren't we? But I've had people say, I don't think I can handle that time of trouble. A time of trouble such as the world has never seen before. I don't think I can deal with that. And I've actually had people say, I wish, I hope, I even pray that the Lord will let me die before the end so that I won't have to go through that tribulation. If you've ever felt that way, look again at verse 27. The end of verse 27, let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid, except for when it comes to the time of trouble. Is that what your Bible says? Well, mine doesn't say that either. Jesus says, let not your hearts be troubled. Don't be shaken, don't be afraid, ever, for anything, not even the time of trouble. Yes, the time of trouble will be a trial. It will be difficult. But what Jesus is saying is, my peace is much greater than that trial. My peace is more powerful than any problem, any difficulty, any loss, any change that you might experience. The only question that is left is, have you accepted this peace that Jesus is offering? It's interesting, Jesus says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. And that word give, again, is in the present tense. Just like Jesus prays for us, he says, I give you this peace. And the idea is, it is a continuous action. He is continually giving us this peace. It's not a one-time deal. Gave it to you 3 years ago, so it's done. No, it's constant. It's continuous. The peace is always there. It's always available. The only question is, will you accept it? Will you embrace it? And will you allow that peace to sustain you in dealing with all of the stresses that we face as humans living in a world of sin? Do you want that peace to be yours? If you do, would you just raise your hand? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we live in a world of sin. We face challenges and trials and difficulties because we have an enemy who is trying to discourage us and to cause us to give up our faith in you. But Father, we are grateful for our Savior Jesus and for the peace that he gives to us. You've seen the uplifted hands, Father. You know each heart. And I pray that you will bless each one with the peace of Jesus, so that there will always be that calm in the eye of the storm. And may that day be soon when we will see our Savior face to face and enjoy this peace for all eternity. In his name, amen.